some important notes here on AI that I want to pass along. Primarily, be very careful. Do not conflate the existence of the AI investment bubble or spending bubble with a concept of AI itself, the technology being in a bubble or having reached a plateau or even being a hoax. I've heard some people say that AI doesn't work or that AI won't replace anybody's jobs. They will cite companies that replaced a bunch of humans with AI and then the AI didn't work and they went back to humans, etc. Yeah, some of those things happened. And the only limitation of AI right now is that very few humans in the corporate world really know how to deploy it correctly, but that's going to change dramatically. Now, of course, I'm sort of on the leading edge of AI, and so I see where this is going before the mainstream, for sure. And I can tell you that AI technology is not in a bubble. In fact, it is leaping forward by remarkable gains in compressed time. It's so astonishing that the people who are really steeped in AI, they've had to update their predictions. They've had to reduce their timelines of how long it will take to get to so-called AGI or how long it will take before AI models start solving the world's most difficult math problems, which they already are solving, many of them, by the way. Just this last weekend, for me personally, I was using three AI models. I was using Kimi K3, I was using DeepSeek, and I was also using Anthropic's Fable 5. I was working on multiple projects. I would say, like peak Sunday, I'm pretty sure I had 10 project screens rocking AI agents. Oh yeah, I was also testing out Hermes and the DeepSeek harness. Minimax H3 and also Minimax Music. I was deploying and testing many, many things. And please hear me when I say this, because I'm not exaggerating. In one weekend, what I can do now with AI agents is more than, well, let me put it this way. Just 18 months ago, if I were to try to do what I did in this last weekend, 18 months ago, it would have taken 6 months of multiple engineers coding multiple projects at a cost of easily hundreds of thousands of dollars. Instead, now with AI agents, I did it myself in one weekend when everybody else wasn't working, typically. I did it in one weekend for a cost of maybe a couple hundred dollars. I haven't seen the bill yet, but it's probably just a few hundred, you know? So that's what AI can do in the hands of people who know how to use it. And by the way, I showed you an example of this yesterday. I put out a new music video that was rendered by Minimax H3. But what a lot of people don't understand is that you have to direct, you have to direct the video rendering engine of what to do. And so there's a whole process of creating. Well, I have an application I call Director, and I started building Director 6 months ago. I was using it with LTX, and then I updated over the weekend to work with Minimax H3, and Director plans the shots, plans the video clips and builds the prompts for the instructions to give to the video engine and handles character consistency and also seamless stitching of audio and video, etc., to have one complete final video. That project is something I vibe coded with the help of these various engines. I'm actually using Kimi K3 on that one now. And I use Hermes for a couple of interesting things, but I haven't really gone in depth on Hermes yet. I'm talking about Hermes agent, of course. I'll get into that later. But my point is, I'm not going to nerd out on you here. My point is that all the things that I just did this last weekend, all of them were impossible 3 months ago. Impossible. And I mean, that without hiring a bunch of humans and taking months to do it is my point. Impossible through AI to do. And even like the animation, AI just couldn't do that. You would have had to hire a massive team of animators to build that kind of thing, potentially at a cost of, I don't know, $100,000 per minute of animation. You know, so that music video was what, 4 minutes? So maybe that would have cost me $400,000 just a couple of years ago. Now it costs me like a dollar's worth of electricity to render. I mean, so anybody saying that AI technology is a bubble literally does not know what they're talking about. And the reason I'm even emphasizing this is because I see a lot of people conflating the idea of an, you know, the common term is it's an AI bubble. And I'm always careful to say, no, it's an AI investment bubble. It's an AI corporate overvaluation bubble. I agree with that completely. There's going to be a market crash in the overinvestment, you know, little pockets or large pockets of the semiconductor market and the stock market, etc. There's going to be a big reckoning coming. But AI technology is not going to crash. It's only getting better, better, and better. In fact, it's a dizzying pace. Just last week, all the models that came out of China, just mind-blowing. I can barely keep up, and I'm ahead of most people in this area, especially most people in independent media or the pro-liberty movement. There's really not that many people in alternative media who are sort of up to speed on this. And one of the things I want to say to you here is don't get left behind. It is really important, in my opinion, to be able to use this technology in a competent way and to have local self-custody of some level of AI hardware. Now, and let me give you specifics here. So in case you're not already doing this, well, you can resolve that very quickly. If you're running a Mac, you probably already have enough unified RAM to start downloading and running models locally. If you have a PC, you can now run decent models in 8 gigabytes of video RAM, which is dirt cheap. You know, you can buy a GPU for probably, I don't know what it is it now, $200, $300 with 8 gigs. Or you can spend more and get 12 or 16 gigs or 20 or 24 or 32 if you want to spend closer to $4,000 or $5,000 on a 5090. Or you can get 96 gigs if you want to spend now $12,000 on the 6000 Pro GPUs, which is what I'm running for all my video rendering, by the way, because I bought a bunch of those cards when they were 8,000 and now they're 12,000, but that's what happens. Anyway, here's my point. Get yourself some local hardware, and then there's just one program that you need to get started with this. It's very simple. It's called LM Studio, and it's at lmstudio.com. You can download that software. It's got Mac, Windows, Linux, and you can run it, and you can download models, even small models, and you can just start using them. There's text processing. There's image processing, other tools. Lots of things that you can do. It's just get started. There's also a company out there called Everything LLM. And I think that's the URL. Let me check it. Everythinglm.com. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. It's Anything LLM. Well, I should get that right. So if you go to anythingllm.com, then you can download their app and it basically runs AI, you know, language models locally, and it has a lot of other additional functionality, you know, research functions and web scraping, and it can use your own documents as what's called a RAG or augmented generation for research purposes and so on. So that's another thing that you can download. I'm pretty sure it's free. Yeah, I think it's free. I don't use that every day, but I have used it before and I was pretty impressed with it. I actually tend to write all my own Python code to do the things I want to do. So I don't really use sort of prepackaged software like that. But for just getting started, that's a very simple way. Anythingllm.com or, like I said, lmstudio.com. Then if you want to take it to the next step, then you use what's called a CLI or a command line interface or a harness for the different models that are available. For example, if you use Claude Code, then you'll have a Claude CLI, which is a command line interface. You type in stuff there, tell it what you want to do, and it talks to the Claude engine at Anthropic, which actually could be Opus or it could be Fable 5 or what have you, or Sonnet. That's an expensive way to go. A much cheaper way to go is to just go to Kimi.ai, K-I-M-I, Kimi.ai, or you can go to DeepSeek. I think it's just DeepSeek.com. You might have to search for it. But I know that Kimi K3 allows you to download a Kimi harness. I think they call it Kimi Code. But I use that harness every day now. It's very capable, very easy to use. DeepSeek has a web-based harness that runs in your browser that a lot of people are just raving about it. I haven't really looked under the hood very much on that one, but I am running the DeepSeek browser-based harness. And I'm also running the older like DeepSeek TUI command line interface, things like that. That's just the higher level if you want to go more developer mode. And then you can just tell the engines, you know, write me a Python program, write me a batch program, you know, manipulate these files. Be careful with that, by the way. Sometimes it can remove directories. Just be careful. There are all kinds of things you can do. I have written, like for one thing, I've written a world-class tape backup program that is running beautifully now, finally, because there was nothing off the shelf that would really work with the tape system that I have. I have LTO-10 tapes. Each cartridge stores, I think, 35 terabytes native, because I have a lot of data, as you probably know. So just backing it up, I had to write my own backup program, which is way more complex than you might suppose because of the way tape has a linear file system. It's called LTFS. It's very different from the way hard drives work. Anyway, you have the easy mode, and then you have the more of the pro mode. The easy mode is just download LM Studio or anything LLM and just get started with it. Just start building things. And the expert mode or the pro mode is to use command line interfaces or Kimi code or Claude code or maybe DeepSeek, like DeepSeek harness or the Hermes agent, which is it's an LLM agnostic agentic system that's more advanced. But learn about these things. And the reason I'm saying that is because I honestly believe if you don't have familiarity with AI and what it's actually capable of doing, I think you're going to get left behind. I really do believe that. Some days I'm afraid I'm going to get left behind. And yet I'm using this every day, but I can barely keep up. Imagine people who have rejected all AI, you know, because they think it's demonic or something. They're just not willing to touch it. You know, they're going to be so far obsolete so quickly. Remember the 1980s when the personal computer first came along? And I've been using computers since I was in the, was it the fifth grade, I think. I had one of the early Apple IIs, and then I had an early IBM PC. And I remember back in the 1980s that those of us who had computer knowledge, we were considered something of like wizards. It's like, what? You know DOS? You know commands and stuff? And people would call me for help. And I actually did a summer job one time at a company that just needed me to help run their computers. They didn't know what they were doing, you know? That was before the internet. That was before even really networking. You had standalone PCs and they just ran, you know, spreadsheets. Mostly it was spreadsheets or word processing or whatever. And I had a printer attached and the printers were like dot matrix printers, like you know, they would scream at you while they're printing something, very slow and very loud. It was all kinds of fun. And then the modems began screaming at you later on. You know, you would connect with a modem. It was like, those were the modems. Remember the dial-up internet? Why did all the early hardware scream at you all the time? I'm curious about that. But if you were an early adopter at that time, you were way ahead of the pack on that, and you had job security, and you were able to deploy the technology in ways that maybe other people didn't realize for years later. And so there was about a 20-year adoption curve with personal computers or desktop computers. And finally, eventually, you know, all the financial companies and all the insurance companies and all the banks realized, hey, we need computers, you know, and, you know, a Dell computer was born, right? And Compaq and HP, and everybody was using, you know, Lotus 1-2-3 and all this stuff. Well, that's the way AI is today, except the time compression is at least 10 times faster. So it's so much easier to fall behind today with AI than it was back then. In the 1980s, you had time to catch up, you know? If you fell behind by a year, it's like, no big deal. It's the 1980s. You know, this is not the quickening. Not really that much stuff going on. You know, except Black Monday, the market crashed 1987. That was fun. Not that I was an investor at that age, but I talked to people who lost a lot of money at that time, and that was very interesting. But today, you can't be a year behind. If you're a year behind on AI, you are obsolete. Seriously. Even it feels to me like if you're 30 days behind, you're that's like a red alert panic catch-up mode right there. If you're 30 days behind on AI, it's like you're lost. Things will happen in 30 days that will make, you know, the last month's models obsolete. It's crazy. That's why it's rough kind of fine-tuning any open source models that get released, because by the time you finish the fine-tune, there's a new model that comes out that makes the one you were working on totally obsolete. I've run into that problem myself. So anyway, bottom line here is get up to speed on this. If you're not up to speed, find a way to start using AI. Even if it's just a cloud-based service that you pay a little bit for. But the best way is to own your own hardware and run it locally. That's where you have actual security and privacy and also effectively no censorship, depending on the model that you're running. So do that, and I think you'll be very well prepared for the acceleration that is now underway. And those people who fail to learn how to use AI are going to be obsolete very rapidly. So don't be that person. Get up to speed. And I'll keep you posted. And by the way, in case you missed my music video from yesterday, I'm going to play it for you here. I'll attach it here. It's called... Steel Coffin. And it's the U.S. Navy sailors singing about their mistreatment on board the USS Abraham Lincoln and other ships. And the only reason I'm showing you this is because this is what AI is now capable of. I rendered this entire music video on my own hardware. I did not use any cloud-based services for this. So enjoy the song. It's about 4 minutes or so, and it just kind of demonstrates what AI is capable of doing today that it couldn't do 30 days ago. So check it out and stay tuned for more.
Yeah. In history. Locked in a steel city, 5,000 souls. No sun, no shore, just the flight deck holes. 200 days straight, a record they own. While the brass in D.C. sits warm on their throne. Mold on the showers, toilets don't flush. Laundry's been broken for weeks, what's the rush? Half a cup of rice and two tortillas dry. While the bombs keep falling from the Arabian sky. No hot water running, no soap for the skin. No toothpaste, no deodorant, the store's wearing thin. 16-hour shifts with no end in sight. Locked in this vessel, no morning light. Who speaks for the sailors? Who speaks for the damned? The Navy says, resilient. called it fake news back in April, you see. While the crew was starving in the Strait of Hormuz, completely misrepresented the new party line. As the sailors lose weight and they lose their minds, Trump says not nearly long enough. Tell that to the kid who ain't seen his mom. Tell that to the wife getting silence for mail while the blockade drags on with no end game, no tail. Hung Cao looked the family's dead in the eye, said they've never broken another Navy lie. A sailor went overboard, mental health incident, but they swear there's no crisis, just resilient men. Operation Epic Fury, more like epic shame. Another war, a choice with no one to blame. But the admirals, the Pentagon, the suits on the hill, who treat human beings like cannon fodder still. Who speaks for the sailors? Who speaks for the damned? The Navy says resilience, but they don't give a damn. Steel coffin, steel coffin, buried alive at sea. Steel coffin going down in history. I don't hate the sailor. I don't hate the sailor. Sailor, I pity the sailor. He signed up to serve, not to rot in your war, not to ration his soap while you rattle for more, not to pray for report call that never arrives while his government laughs and his sanity dies. You put them in combat with holes in the deck, then you wonder why men wanna jump off the wreck. 5,000 story, 5,000 screams, 5,000 prisoners of your war machine. And when they come home, if they come home, what will be left but the ghost? CVN 72, November to August, and counting. No fresh fruit, no sunshine, no home, just steel, just water, just war. In history.
Unlock the power of organic turmeric root powder for good health that starts with every scoop. It's non-GMO, non-China, gluten-free, and certified organic because you deserve only the purest. Shop now at healthrangerstore.com.